And coming up now, we're going to have a yarn with Eddie Reader. Just some of the stuff sung by the brilliant voice of Eddie Reader. She's down the line now. Eddie, how you doing?
Hello, I'm a bit rough this the day because I had a big night out with the lads last night. The lads and lassies, we were doing a tribute to Michael Mara. Do you know the great Bard of Dundee?
Right.
And we were singing his songs until 7 a.m, you know, one of those nights.
Actually,
we'll remember forever.
I'm very glad to hear that, because sometimes you'll get singers on and they'll maybe be at a party. No, I have to save my voice. I can't be joining in with sing songs and that.
Oh, jeez, so. I was running about forcing everybody to sing. It was I was that annoying person in the pub that's, come on, get a song going. Come on, let's. I've just, when I have a drink, I turn into my granddad's Reader and my dad, the shipyard worker. I just turn into that person, and I love being that person because I feel really connected to music when I'm being that person.
But then it's the real purpose of music, you know, to entertain people, bring them together. I mean,
yeah.
you're carrying on a fine tradition, Eddie.
Well, that's what it gave to me when I was growing up. In the 70s, in the house parties, I mean, from 64, when I was really wee, all the way up to my teenage years, you know, it was a rite of passage to have a song and come into the room where the adults were, rather than be stuck in the room with the sandwiches and the and your Christmas presents, you know.
Yeah.
Well, everybody had a big party. So when I was allowed to come in, I think it must have been around, I don't know, probably around 13 to 14, 15, that age. And I sung The House of the Rising Sun. There is a house, you know.
It was the same in our house. The thing is, it was like all the kids up to bed, so you'd hear the songs, and then all of us kids were basically hanging over the banisters listening, you know.
Yeah. Well, we didn't have banisters. We weren't as posh as you. we were on the one level of a flat, but the close would have maybe 8 families, and they were all in my granddad's house. So everybody was in there, and we were all in one room and under coats. But the thing is, the brilliant thing for me is because my mother had a sweet kind of voice, she sounded like Ruby Murray, and she never did it professionally, but she could have done. And she was offered an Irish show band, actually asked her to join, because her mother's from Tralee, and my dad's side is all hard and fast Glasgow. But when she sung at the end of the night, everybody just melted with the sweetness of her voice. And I kind of inherited a wee bit of that tone. She's much better than me, though, as everybody would have told me all through my life, you know.
You'll always
never
get
as good as your mother, you know. But, I mean, when I listened to her, and then when I saw my Uncle Frank get drunk and fall madly into tears of rapture when he was singing Birth of the Blues or The Bells Are Ringing for Me and My Gal. You'd get all of that, or you'd get, you say the song begins, you speak and I hear violins, it's magic. And everyone was just as good as the famous people that they were singing songs of, and there would be big rows about who was the best, Elvis or Tom Jones or Bing Crosby and Frank Sinatra. And then my granddad would sing something like, I don't know, he'd sing, I don't know, The Streets of Derry or Biddy Mulligan, or, and then his Protestant wife, my granny, would kick him because they were more rebellious songs, and he weren't allowed to do that. And so there was a real mishmash of people in the 60s and 70s when I was growing up.
No, but your house sounds like ours, where, you know, you knew there were far better singers in that wee room than there were in the charts. You know, you knew that. But also, there was a sort of unwritten rule. Don't sing that song, because that's Paddy's song.
Even now that Manny Mary's not with us, God rest her soul, if I go to a party and I sing, because of you, there's a song in my heart. Because of you, well, I get real daggers.
Yeah.
That's
not your song.
What company I'm in if I sing that one.
Yeah, no, it's funny. It's just, you brought me back. I felt like sitting out for a crate of beer there, you know, and just sitting.
My granddad always had a bunch of stolen whiskey from some guy, because there was always a bunch of thieves in my granddad's close, and they would always steal off the back of a lorry a big crate of whiskey, and they'd always give it to my granddad. My granddad was 6'5", and I don't know if you know, a lot of Glaswegian men are quite small, so my granddad was a giant among these Glaswegians,
yeah.
And he would be given charge of the crate of whiskey, and 9 times out of 10, the boys would come up to get it off him. And he'd say, what whiskey? After the police had raided, you know, the police had raided, find nothing. But they wouldn't suspect my granddad because, it was, yeah, I don't know, he was never in bother. Too sly to be in bother with the police. Uh-huh. And they always respected him anyway, but, you know, Big Dan Reader, he was a champion bowler in the garden bowls, you know, the green.
Yeah.
And so he was kind of a wee bit of a hero in that area of Glasgow, Maryhill, Rockhill, and I think all the guys, when they came upstairs to get their whiskey again, he would just kind of light his cigarette and go, what crate of whiskey are you talking about, Tom?
Sounds terrific. I mean, you know, it sounds like you were brought up in my street, you know? I mean,
I was brought up in quite a few. I mean, when I speak to people, they all seem to have had that experience. And, I mean, I just carried it with me. I carried it down to London, and I'd sit with Jules Holland, and I'd sing songs at his party, and he loved doing that. And I like to lay claim to the fact that that whole idea of later with Jules Holland, where everybody's in the room and we all sing a song each,
yeah.
I think that came from the parties I had with him in the very early 90s, just before he cottoned on to doing that show. Because we used to go around his house and we'd just get everybody singing, and he was a real fan of that, you know?
Yeah. Maybe he missed out in his childhood. Maybe he wasn't privy to that experience, you know?
Well, he certainly loves it now that he's, you know, an older man. He so enjoys the jamming and the just sitting with good singers and good players and celebrating everybody for what they can do. And Jules, the surprising thing about Jules Holland is that he employs all those musicians. He's employed them for years, 30 years, maybe more.
Yeah.
And they've gone with him all the way from playing in the back of a pub in New Cross in London to being on the telly and doing these award-winning shows and celebrated sold-out performances. But also, when you go to a party at Joe's house, he's got the plumber there, the carpenter there that he went to school with. So he gives everybody work in his town, and he makes things happen all the time. He bought a studio which was a bunch of garages in this alleyway, and he's turned it into a station, and he's got the local carpenter to make it into a station front, a fake station. And then you go in and he's redesigned in the back garden. He's redesigned Port Marion, which is where they filmed The Prisoner with Patrick McGugan. Do you remember that?
Yeah, that was a really striking, stunning-looking village, yeah.
Well, that's there, and he's recreated it in the back garden of his studio, and he pays for everybody to come in, the plumbers and the painters, and they're all from that area, Deptford, and they're all his mates, and so he's a real genuine guy.
That's refreshing to know. I've just got a text from Liz B. She says, what lovely singing from Eddie. Reminded me of my late mum when she sang to all of us. Thanks for the memory.
I wonder what her song was.
But you've struck a chord, you know, you really have.
I think music travels through borders and time and you know, I've fallen in love with Robert Burns songs, and they're like 200 years old, and when I sing them, I don't think they're 200 years old. I think they're exactly right for right now, you know?
Yeah, because you sang with the Ulster Orchestra and all, didn't you, doing Burns
what
Night?
What a treat, with Carl David.
Yeah.
He's the one that did War of the Worlds. He's like a massive conductor and arranger and writer, and it was a real thrill to have him behind me on the stage. Yeah. I was very starstruck, you know?
Well, listen, your gigs, you're in Dublin, you're in Cork, you're Kilkenny, Wexford, more in Dublin, Dunleary, but you're in the old Courthouse Theatre in Antrim, 13th of February.
Yeah, I'm glad to be playing more in the north. I find very big similarities between us in our songs and our poetry and the landscape. It's very like Ayrshire. You know, Ayrshire is where I went when I was 14 to live from Glasgow. We came out of here and they didn't build any council houses for us, and they knocked down the tenement closes. So we ended up in these places like Irvine and in the Ayrshire coast. And, very, very similar. That was where I was introduced to Robert Burns, and then I found out when I was doing a program about Robert Burns there in the north and the weavers, the poets that you have, the weaver poets. I found out that everyone had a Robert Burns book in their house, so I kind of found that there was a big connection, and there's only like 12 miles between the two lands, I think Antrim and Mullaghcentire.
Listen, I'm sure if you go back far enough, it was probably all joined up anyway.
We were Dalriada. Yeah. We were all the one tribe, remember?
We're going to get a history lesson. Here, listen, when you're doing the gig...
Here's one, by the way. You're running the bank for us. I think the last time, the story was that a bunch of fishermen from Ayrshire went over to Antrim and stole some women. So I think, and then they came back and stole them back about 5 years later. So I think that's still going on, I think.
Oh yes, it's still going on.
In Campbelltown.
What kind of stuff are you going to be doing in the set then?
Well, I do everything. I do Burns, I do Fairground Attraction, I do my new songs, I do my old songs. I just kind of like to feel what I want. I mean, the players that I've got with me, you know, allow me that freedom because they kind of know everything I do, and even if they don't know it, they'll have a go.
Yeah. No, it sounds terrific. So just everything that is in your repertoire is up for grabs then?
Absolutely, yeah. I try my best. If we've rehearsed it, you know, even better. But if we don't know it, you know, and if I feel like singing it. I mean, we've been singing things I haven't recorded yet as well, which I quite enjoy too, just to see what an audience thinks of it. Because I think that song only really works. It's like comedy. It's only really working if it makes people laugh. So you're not a comedian if you don't make people laugh. So I think that you're not really a singer until you can communicate a story through a song, a melody, and touch people in that way.
Yeah, well, listen.
But it gets me first. It gets me in the heart. It breaks my heart, and then I need to soften everybody else's heart with it.
Listen, thanks for talking to us. I want to play a bit of your single before we get the news and all on. So,
Vagabond, is it your play?
Oh, it's Vagabond, yes.
Yeah.
You know, hey, you've still got a core voice, by the way. You know, still got a sweet voice.
Cheers.
So, the old Courthouse Theatre in Antrim, 13th of February. That's the nearest gig to us. And listen, good luck.
About the what and why, can't say as I ever know. Heaven to me's a fair blue stretch of sky, earth's just a dusty rose. Don't know the names of things or what they are, can't say as I ever will. Don't know about God, he's just a nodding star atop a windy hill. Vagabond, vagabond, from waking time to dust. Don't know about death, but it's a quiet storm, all over gray with moss. Why I live and why the whole world spares are things I've never known. My mark's the gypsy fire, the lonely ends, and just the dusty road. Just the dusty road.